Hey, Technorama listeners, this is Chuck. Sorry I can't be with you this week. I am in Colorado and then traveling to San Diego, and the travel plans did not mesh with the podcast schedule. Those of you who have been listening for a long time know that I've podcasted from some strange and bizarre places, and this is one of them. I am at 14,110 feet atop Pikes Peak, podcasting to the world from a really high point in the U.S. I don't know. It's got some significance, but right now the oxygen is too thin to help me think about that. It's a long way up, an interesting road, some paved, some dirt, and it's a beautiful sight up here, I gotta tell you. I'll bring some pictures and post them online when I get back. Thanks for holding down the fort, Craig, and 101 when I get back. Bye.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the Chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where is my little Chuck gone? Where can he be?
Over there, in the media corner.
Thanks.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome everybody for Technorama. This is Technorama for June, 10th, I think. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thanks for joining us. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate it that you like beating your head against the wall. I'm Craig Stepp, and Chuck is out of town. He got called away because he got a new job. I know everybody heard that he was out of work, and amazingly, he got a job within 30 days. So, he gets to keep his car and his computer and all that good stuff. That's a good thing. But joining me is my good friends Victor and George. Say hello, guys.
Hello.
Hey, send in the clones.
Yeah, send in the clones. So it's Victor Cayal from the Typical Mac User Podcast and the Typical Sugarbug, and George, his sidekick. Ooh.
Hey, that's your job.
I'm a sidekick too. I'm proud. I'm not too proud.
Kind of have a union of sidekicks. I always wondered about that. A sidekick syndicate.
Yeah,
that would be clones of clowns. Thank
clones
you.
Of clowns. That's right. So anyway, coming up in this show, we've got the Star Wars kid becomes a lawyer. Legos are pretty dangerous now, and George is talking around the world. More on all that when we come back.
This is Brett Packer, formerly Division Chief of the Delta Launch Operations Division at Kennedy Space Center, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Hey, everybody. I want to take this opportunity to tell you about GoToAssist Express, a sponsor of this fine podcast. They produce a great tool over there where you can reach out and provide support to your friends, family, neighbors, cats and dogs, if they've got computers. See, I could actually reach out and touch Chuck's computer wherever he's at while he's out of town, move all his files around, and confuse him a good bit so he wouldn't even know what happened. But no, I'm not going to do that because I'm not that kind of guy. But you can. No, what I want you to do is you can go try GoToAssist.com for free for 30 days. If you provide support for any of your family or friends and you just need to jump on there and show them how something's done or do something for them, without confusing them with all this, hook your router to this, get on the internet and route this and that. No, just send them a link and they can connect right up back up to you. No problems at all. It's actually really easy. Again, go over to GoToAssist.com/techpodcast and tell them Technorama sent you. Everybody, want to thank everybody for showing up for the show tonight, and again, I want to thank Victor and George for chiming in for popping in. So what have you guys been up to lately? I know I've seen more video coming down your feed, Victor. on a typical Shudder or Mac podcast.
I bought a new camera. I got to play with it. Got some new hard drives. So why not video the whole thing and, you know, justify it for tax purposes? You know, you got to do that. So that's exactly what I've been doing.
include the gadget so you can write it off.
Oh, absolutely, dude. Yeah. That is, you know, not that I'm making any money at it, so you got to do what you can.
Yeah. Well, I saw a video with you installing the secondary drive in your MacBook Pro.
Yeah, the OptiBake thing. That's pretty cool, actually. Now I've got a drive there and plenty of room to put stuff in it. I haven't had much of a need for it, but it is a great option if you you're not using your DVD drive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, $100, maybe 25 minutes worth of work. And there you go. And they give you a little casing for your Opti drive so you can still use it if mm-hmm. you need to and all that. So it's a pretty cool deal.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
MCETech.com, I think.
Yeah. And I thought that was pretty cool. And especially when I said, well, why don't you just put it in another bay? And then the guy shows the bay.
Yeah.
Right. So what you been up to, George? What's up?
Mostly replacing things.
Replacing things?
Yeah, I was out of town over the weekend to come back, and I'm like, why is the garage door not open? And then it was, why is the TV not work right? And then it's like, why is my Pogo plug in this hard drive dead? And so basically some sort of electrical hit to the house while we were gone.
Oh, really?
Over the holiday weekend, and took out just a couple pieces of equipment. Fortunately, I have UPSs on everything, so I think that minimized what got hit, but still it's a pain in the tuchus to, you know, get a new TV and take the old one. And actually, I will say this for Best Buy. They have a great deal where they recycle stuff. So mm-hmm. if you have old computers, old accessories for computers, televisions, whatever, then you can take that down there within certain limits. And they will simply take it and recycle it for you. You don't have to worry about trying to find out whether to get rid of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I have heard about that program, but I haven't used it yet.
That's pretty cool. For televisions, they make you pay a $10 fee, but they turn around and hand you a $10 Best Buy card to use in the store. Oh. For everything else, they just take it, no questions asked, and mm-hmm. they get rid of it.
Yeah, so that was my next question, is if they charge you anything for that.
I think for appliances, like if you have microwaves, fridges and stuff where you have to come to your house to pick it up,
mm-hmm.
unless they're hauling it off as part of a new purchase, then yeah, they charge you to take it away. But if it's like, I just got rid of, two dead carcasses of old home theater PCs today. I took down there mm-hmm. and got rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't cost me a thing. I just took them in. So I walk in the door and say, hey, I'm here for recycling. He puts a little sticker on it so he knows it came in the door. And I walk straight over customer service. They punch in the register for a minute just, I guess, to, you know, record it. And sure. then they take it away and you never see it again.
So is this the point where we actually tell everybody, if you take your computer to have it recycled, keep the hard drive or destroy it?
Yes, they tell you to take it out, or Geek Squad will do it. Take it out for you for $10.
Okay, all right. Well, that another $10.
We'll make money even when your computer is dead.
Victor or George walks out. I don't feel good. I recycled everything. Cost me $100.
I don't know. You must have a nice
hardware. I took the hard drives out and used them to do backups of my data.
You know what I do with mine? I make clocks out of them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I've seen some of those. Those are pretty cool, too.
Yeah, I did it a long time ago. I actually got some to do. When I did it before, a long time ago, I made it a point to use only parts that came off of a computer to make the clock. So, like, the little blanks in the back of the PCs, you know, for the slots.
Mm-hmm.
I would use those to kind of hold up the platters in the right spot. You know, I'd take the motor out, of course, and replace it with the clock. So I tried to use all the only parts from the computer. And, you know. I don't know, whatever. See, I was recycling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the drives that came out of the thing I took in the day worked, so I kept those and used those to make offline backups of my data, so if lightning were to hit again, I would have copies that were not plugged into a wall that also would get fried, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I had some older hard drives that I needed to get rid of, and I got myself a new hard drive wiping tool at Home Depot. It's called a 4-pound engineering hammer. Nice, good steel head. And you just put it in a plastic bag. You lay it down on the concrete in the carport. And you mm-hmm. just beat the tar out of them.
And you feel better afterwards, right?
Yeah, it's therapeutic. And you get rid of data.
I love that name, 4-pound engineering. What the hell are you going to engineer with a 4-pound hammer? Oh, I think this thing needs one of these. Okay, yeah. That's a perfect design.
Yeah. Sounds good to me. One other point before we move on, I want to ask, did your homeowners cover some of that stuff?
God, that drove me nuts. A $500 deductible on the insurance of State Farm. So I call State Farm because between the TV be about five.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the couple hundred for replacing the garage door opener. And then the few odds and ends I would have probably gotten back in the cost of the garage door opener, basically. But they sit there and tell me that they required a letter from someone for everything I was going to claim.
What?
Saying that it had lightning damage.
So it's not enough for you to write a check each month. You got to write a letter, have letters for all this. Come on.
Yeah, I would have had to have waited for someone to come out to my house to inspect the garage door to say it was dead, that they couldn't fix it. I would have had to have taken the TV to some TV repair place to have them write a letter, which is time out of my day. I would have, either a friend that does computers, because they won't accept it from me directly since it's my stuff. Even though I've written letters for people before,
maybe would have
had to have taken the hardware to Geek Squad and have them write one. So it just wasn't worth the trouble.
And it cost them
$10.
You
obviously are not using the typical Media Group LLC services to their full extent.
Oh.
You could have taken care of all of that with just a simple Skype call and a camera. Would have been like, yep, that's burnt out. Yep, don't work anymore. Where do you want me to send a letter?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it would have worked, but it basically just wasn't worth the trouble. So I just, and I needed to get things back up and running for, the TV for the wife and stuff like that. So
for TV, that's, that could be fine. That's easily $500.
So
anyway, all right, let's move on. So we got some news. Just imagine the news jingle here.
Oh, sorry.
So here's kind of a good spin on an old story. Remember the Star Wars kid? The one that was tripping over himself playing with the lightsaber on the video camera?
How can you forget the Star Wars kid? That's what I want to know.
I know.
What I've been trying to do is forget that.
Yeah. Well, and then it comes back around. Well, yeah, it turns out the Star Wars kid is now an attorney, so he can sue everybody that watched it.
No, I thought his family had already sued those people, right? Didn't his family sue the kids that posted that or something?
Actually, they did, and they did make some money, and that's probably how he afforded to go to law school. Here, I'll read a little bit out.
Yeah.
Anyway, here you go. After three of his friends uploaded the infamous clip, which features Raza, I forget his whole name, Raza. Anyway, flailing with a metal pole, doing his awkward Darth Maul impersonation, the Canadian teen became depressed, dropped out of school, and wound up in a children's psychiatric hospital. Roz and his family eventually took the parents of the kids who uploaded the video to court and sued them for harassment. So they ended up getting money, and so he ended up going to law school. But, I didn't feel...
And now he can write his own DCMA cease and desist letters.
Well, after watching it, you're like, oh, man, really, I think it was about anybody that's ever wanted a lightsaber and form of capacity was probably doing the same kind of thing in their bedroom. I mean, I can't really feel too bad, but then again, I'm sorry
it all
happened.
It was bad that those kids posted it, though, dude. I mean, that was, anybody would have known. I mean, that was hard to watch, never mind live through, like, ooh, awkward.
Yeah, I think he took it a little too hard, but. It probably wasn't good that they uploaded it, but hey, it had a happy ending. He got his law license and
is he working for the dark side or that's all I want to know.
Well, he is an attorney.
No, you work for the dark side, Victor.
Where Victor does?
I don't even know what you're talking about, but fine.
Yeah. So anyway,
excuse me, I need to go get my helmet on. Hold on.
Your helmet.
Yeah, the stormtrooper helmet.
Hey, you know what? Actually, I did this kind of flailing around with my iPad when I got it. I had the lightsaber app on it. Did you ever do that?
No,
not with crickets. My iPad.
Actually, what was scary is that was on my iPad because it got copied over from my iPod Touch, and my son was walking around shaking it, and I'm like, I can just see the corner of my dining room table hitting that thing. Please don't.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of iPads, you see they were using this in surgery?
Yeah. Well, it keeps them from sawing off the wrong arm, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that is a game of operation up a notch, if you ask me.
Oh, sorry, I lost.
There is an app for that.
Yeah. Ooh, I lost. Anyway, so a team of doctors at Kobe University called in a specialist recently to assist with surgery. And while the iPad may not have been the most practical medical aid, it's the only one that comes with plants and zombies. What? Oh. Anyway, they essentially used it in surgery, which, you know, they put it in a plastic, it looks like a bag, but I guess it's any number one of those plastic cases. And, you know, there's video on here and everything, and they're showing them looking at the images and using multi-touch. It looks like some kind of weird Apple ad.
Well, I mean, you say that, but my wife, she works at a pediatric dentist, and when I was looking at this thing when it first came out,
mm-hmm.
I could just picture, you know, these dentists are going from room to room, and if they got the kids' x-rays right there, and they could pinch and zoom on it and all that, why wouldn't you?
Well, yeah.
You
know? No. I totally get that. It just looked funny they were holding it during surgery. I'm not talking about, holding dental x-rays on it, which... Yeah, that's totally awesome. You know, just walk around with it.
What they need to do is they need to buy one of the stands from thoughtout.biz and, you know, put it in the autoclave and sanitize it.
Use one of those, whether Kaja, the Naja King or whatever I got from.
Yeah, I don't think that'll hold the iPad up, but he has a new stand that will, and it rotates and all that. So,
Victor, didn't you have a wall mount or something for an iPad, or where did I see that?
No, I didn't, but I did see a wall mount for the iPad with a guy who put it in his kitchen. That was awesome. Did you see that? Yeah. He took the iPod and he cut it out of his thing. That was great. So,
yeah.
No, I'll be impressed when, like, the first, you know, little altar boy brings an iPad up to the priest in the front of the church when they're going to read. That's when I'll know that iPad is it's medical.
Wait a minute. Oh, so you didn't see the priest that was reading from the iPad, did you?
No, really? Oh, I was just making a joke, but that would be awesome.
I'll find the link and send it to you. But yes, there's a priest up there, and he's clearly holding an iPad as he's reading, I guess, scripture or his sermon.
The word according to Jobs.
Yeah. I think I would have disguised it like a Bible, put it in like a cover, you know, but.
Gizmodo 2.1. The book of Gizmodo. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. We tore that one out of the book.
So, since I know y'all, everybody in the world's talked about their iPads, and I've got mine, of course, but I want to know what have y'all been using yours for?
Well, I mean, I pretty much carry it around as a complete laptop replacement for when I'm running around town or at lunch and I want to read the news, my mail, my Twitter. Yeah. Heck, I'm using it as a third display on my Mac right now.
So, you got a 3G, right?
Yes.
And I guess both of y'all do. So
yeah, and you got Victor's old one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know Victor's got a 3G because I had to wait for this one to.
Thank you. Thank you, Craig.
It's all right. I took one for the
team.
Thank
you, Mr. Flubner.
So what about you, Victor? Have you used it for anything other than the obvious, I guess, or just?
Pretty much the obvious, but I really find that I'm consuming more news than I used to. I find that kind of interesting. You know, both in RSS feeds, which I still do, but also just newspapers. I'm reading USA Today all the time. Not the pinnacle of newspapers, but it gives me some news stories that I wasn't hip to before, and that's really nice. And I just really like the photo apps when I want to show anybody my pictures.
Yeah.
It's so much nicer. It's like instantly people get it when you show them pictures. I'm going to Yosemite next month, and I hope to use it to offload pictures as I'm in the field taking pictures. I'll be able to offload some stuff. So that's not super fast, but it'll work.
I did that this past weekend when I was at my dad's. I just took the camera kit, plugged, you know, I actually was using my iPhone and my Owly, which is, you know, that solid aluminum frame for the iPhone. It's got the lens on the front and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was I shot some pictures, I shot some video with my iPhone, and I plugged the iPhone into the iPad via the camera connector kit. It sees it just like any other camera storage, pulled the pictures over. I played with them and touched them up in the iPad a little bit in terms of levels and such, exposure, and then I uploaded them. It was great.
It is cool. And y'all can rub it in that because I can't get a camera connection kit.
I know that seems to be the hot item now. I mean, I guess nobody's getting them right now, so it's kind of strange. What about you, Craig? I mean, you've had these devices for a while. You were using, was it the Nokia one that you were using for a long time? So you've been using this kind of device for a while.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, you know, I went from the Nokia. I have an iPod Touch. I kept it. I still got it. And I got the iPad. I'll tell you the biggest thing for me right now is I'm actually reading more comics on it because of the Marvel app. I don't know if you've seen it. The Marvel.
Oh, it's great.
Dude, that made me spend money on freaking comics before I even had my iPad. I was so disgusted. It was like I was buying them. I'm reading them on the iPhone, waiting for the iPad to come out.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I got my iPad, it's like then I'm downloading all those, looking at them again on the larger screen, adding a few more.
Yeah.
It's a money sink.
It is. And I'll tell you, there's not just the Marvel one, but there's two other ones as well. There's one, let's see, what was the name? Oh, the IDW Comics, and they have their own set. And it's a very similar type app. I think they're all using the same app, but they kind of tweak it up a little bit. And the other one's called Iverse. And they all have a little different sets of comics in them. A lot of free ones, so you can get started without actually having to pay out of pocket too much. And
yeah, just like a crack at it.
Yeah, the first one free. Come on, man. But yeah, it's really cool. I've been reading iBooks a little bit more. Not so much the photos as I would like, you know, on the fly because I don't have the stupid camera connection kit. But
yeah, you can get those sometimes.
I get it. Yeah, I'll get it at some point.
You know, one thing that I find surprising is that for the first time since I got my iPhone, I'm actually starting to feel around and look for potential alternates to iPhone. You know, I'm looking at what the Droid devices that are coming out and what they feature. And, you know, I'm using my iPhone a lot less, definitely. There's no doubt. So for the first time since the iPhone, it's made me at least look to some other places that I might be able to get some different geek device.
Well,
because this new iPhone, I think, is going to be, cost prohibitive. Anyways, that's been surprising for me.
I laugh because I'm gonna suggest an Android phone, but George will shoot me when I do so.
God, yeah, George was dogging you.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Do you still feel that way about it? I mean, you played with it all day, George, and I've heard really good things about it. So I was really surprised at some of
that Sense UI. Oh man, that thing's horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying the Droid platform is horrible. I'm saying Sense UI on that Evo is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was sitting there beating my head because I was, fixing my contact entry because it's my wife's phone. She went and bought it. And I was trying to edit my own contact and it wouldn't let me put more than one IM entry for Instant Messenger. So I could only put like my AOL, not my AOL and my Google Talk. Right. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't let me input. And then Craig's like, well, my Droid lets me do more than one. And I'm like, well, you know, this is obviously not that.
Well, I tell you, the Sense UI and all that, their customization is kind of a little different, but underneath it's the same OS. And like you pointed out to me when we were on the phone, George, that well, that would be the interface the user sees, and you know, good point. You know,
My wife likes it well enough. There's nothing wrong with it. She's happy with it. That's all that matters. I don't have to deal with it.
Well,
initially setting it up.
Yeah, and my Nexus One, I think it's a little too early to put it on there, but the Android 2.2 that's coming out, it does tethering, you know, with no problem. I was able to tether with the iPad. I'm riding down this, you know, down the highway on the bus.
Oh, yeah, sure. Rub it in.
Yeah. So it works with no problem.
Tethering? You were doing tethering?
Yeah, Wi-Fi tethering, yep.
Can I have $20, please?
Yeah. What?
Oh, never mind.
No. So anyway, Mr. Tim Elliot in the chat room, he was asking how you guys carry it around. I just stick it in my backpack.
Yeah, I've got it in the Apple case, so I just, you know, kind of use that to prop it up and stuff. I just basically carry it like with a small portfolio, you know, because I mean, I'm not carrying around lots of places. I'm, you know, taking it to the coffee shop and then, you know, just to the car and back. So it's not a big deal for me.
I'm using the Griffin Technologies Elon Passport right now. It's like a leather type case, which is nice. But I think Tuesday I finally am getting the Dodo case, which is the one that looks like the
Dodo.
You know, it's cool. It's really cool, this dodo case. They're handmade in San Francisco, and they look like this mole skin thing.
Yeah.
And that's what they look like, and they're really, really nicely built by hand using bamboo and that same material that the mole skin things use, so it's real thin. So I'll let you know what I think about that when I get it on Tuesday. Hmm. I put both links in the chat room.
Yeah, that does look nice. Got the little elastic band to hold it closed and it'll work.
Yeah, but like 6 weeks to get one. They are like totally back ordered because they're made by hand, and I guess they didn't expect the flow that they got. But they're getting a lot of them out.
Wow. All right. Well. All right. Well, let's move along. Enough about Apple crap. I mean, you're gonna actually hear enough of that this coming week, I'm sure. But anyway, I wanted to jump in and mention the chat room because I totally blew right by him. See what happens when Chuck's not here. So let's talk about everybody, or let's mention everybody that's in the chat room. We have Gru, which with Mr. Missing Inlek, aka Geek Cred, aka Steve Ricky Bird.
Cool, I could.
AD Spaceballs, Ben Vaughn, Claudio Men in Tights. Oh, I see where this is going. Captain Rootbeer. Oh, that's George Starcher. I don't see a theme on his name. Igor Tim. Marvy Saddles. Okay. Nightstar and Victor. And I think Blazing Binaries was in there just a second ago. He had to go to bed. Yeah, I think it's... that's Mel Brooks, isn't it? Yeah, that's Mel Brooks stuff.
Yep. Mel Brooks. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for showing up. And I know it's kind of a little bit of an odd time, but anyway, maybe we'll get Chuck back next time and get everything back in sync, or I'll get everything in sync for next show. Anyway, so moving on to our hacks and strange stories. There's two things in here that I think everybody under the sun sent me, because we always talk about Legos around here, and I'll start with this one. Was the Lego circular saw? Did y'all see this thing?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's cool. It looks, that's the most dangerous looking Legos I've seen. So they made this circular saw out of Legos, and it's really pretty interesting. Turns out the blade's teeth have been rounded so it can cut, and even if I had sharp blade tips, the 9-volt Lego motor mechanism wouldn't be able to cut through anything but fingers. That's kind of dangerous. But yeah, it looks great. Well, I'm sitting here watching it spin. Cool.
Yeah, it's the thing too. Good thing it's using the smaller motor, because otherwise it just vibrate the Lego housing into pieces unless you super glued every block.
Yeah. Did you ever see the Mythbusters where they built the big Lego ball?
No, I didn't catch that one.
I didn't see that one.
They built it. Well, I think it was to replicate a commercial where they rolled the Lego ball or something. So they built, or was it a YouTube video? Anyway, they built it and they rolled it and it started disintegrating shortly right after they just pushed it. So it's like falling apart, and I was totally expecting this to kind of go, spin out of control, but no, it held together. That's pretty neat. Anyway, and the next thing that everybody in the universe sent me was the biggest R2-D2 in the universe. And I'm not
this
sure.
This universe or any universe?
Well, I guess the Star Wars universe.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know if this was a prank or not, but they decorated this observatory at the Charlton College in Northfield, Minnesota, to look like R2-D2. You know, the lens and everything on an observatory, normally the head can kind of take that shape of R2-D2. And they kind of painted it, or put some, I think they just pasted some stuff on there. But because the video, somebody shot it sideways. Why they did that, I don't know. That's kind of weird.
It says
the biggest astromech in the universe. Some crazy students decided to turn the Good Shell Observatory into R2-D2 using a temporary disguise. Simple but effective. And the video shows it as it moves, and the head's moving, and they got some sounds going on, and they got like like cloths hanging in front of the building, so it looks like R2-D2. It's pretty cool. So yeah, I that's a pretty big undertaking. I don't know if I'd want to. That's a big prank,
Yeah,
or a project. I don't know. I can just see myself trying to talk to some old college buddies. Hey, come on. I got this great idea. Let's make the observatory look like R2-D2.
And then let's put a sideways video. People will really be like, whoa, dude.
I know. It wasn't
home. And the worst prank I did in college was for months, no one knew who was doing it either. It was back when Ren and Stimpy was out, right?
Yeah.
And I had back then, you know, you couldn't just grab video off any old thing. You had to have like a multi-$1,000 Matrox frame grabber, which I happened to have access to because I did forensic video work.
Oh, wow.
And so I took Ren and Stimpy episodes on VHS. I would grab screenshots from, and I'd make these promotional flyers for Ren and Stimpy and make my own little slogans and stuff. And we were putting them all over campus. I was like worming them up inside of vending machines to inside the glass. People are like, how did you get it in there? And, you know, up on like the highest wall part of the ceiling in the big lecture rooms and stuff. We get them up there and just all over the place. And we did that for months before we figured out who was doing it.
Nerd alert. Hey, I was going to tell you, you know, making fun of the sideways video.
Yes.
This is a good example of why you want that little screen lock on your iPad. Flip it.
Yeah, screen lock and then rotate the iPad and watch it normal.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. Ren and Stimpy. You know, speaking of you, George, you know, the other day you mentioned, we were talking on the phone for everybody that doesn't know, and you mentioned about Invader Zim.
Yes.
My son has been going through an Invader Zim marathon on Netflix here the last few days. And when we went to Heroes Con this last week, well, I'll talk about him a little more in a minute. I saw him everywhere. You know, I just like all of a sudden started noticing him everywhere. I don't know what's up with that. Didn't they come out with
takeover?
Didn't they come out with a new version or new episode, one episode or something? They kind of went off it recently.
I don't know.
I thought they did. Cause I remember seeing all new Invader Zim. I think it was from some unreleased footage or something. They cut one together, but I just thought it was odd that I saw him everywhere.
Well, he's out there trying to take over. What do you expect?
Slowly but surely. And you know, my son had to buy a little Gurr pen. So, yeah. Anyway, Gurr. You know, Gurr.
You had something in here.
What's that,
Victor?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's move along. Stunned silence there. Go for it, Victor.
Yeah. So when I was a kid, one of the favorite toys that I got and, you know, actually asked for and got was the G.I. Joe Mercury capsule. And, of course, I had the full-on G.I. Joe astronaut costume. And it was just a toy that I carried everywhere and led me to many adventures. I don't know about you guys, but between that and the Thunderbirds, I was set.
Yeah.
You know, give me that. Give me, like, an old refrigerator box and a crayon, and I was ready to go. So this guy goes over, and this is at mercuryjoe.com. He also had a vision when Toys R Us came out and reissued this G.I. Joe Mercury capsule. He set it up upon himself that he wanted to actually send the capsule and the G.I. Joe up in the air through a rocket. So he has built a 10-foot rocket and documents the entire process. This thing has done several flights already. You can go and look at the technical specs of the rocket. And he put 5 cameras so that he has actually video of the rocket going up, and you get the 4 camera view.
Yeah.
Like from the, you know, and it's just super cool project that he did. He actually achieved it, and that's over at mercuryjoe.com. If you go there, he's got an entire YouTube channel, of course, but he also shows you specifications, what kind of cameras were used to do it, Facebook page, the whole bit. And it even tells you when the next launch is going to be of this guy, 5 days, 4 hours, 40 minutes, and 12 seconds from now.
That's neat.
So, yeah, it is a cool project. I mean, and obviously just a lot of time and effort put into this thing. Now, again, he was using the 1990s version of the reissue that Toys R Us did. The one that I had was just gray and very basic. I don't know if you guys had that one, but it was just a very cool toy. And I thought, oh, this is a perfect story for Hacks and Strange Stories.
Yeah, it reminds me of, I didn't really get into G.I. Joe so much, but I do remember this looks like the $6 Million Man stuff I had. Because I think when you bought him, he had like a lab or something, and it kind of...
So what, you put him on a rocket, blow him up, and then stitch him back together? Is that what you did?
Yeah, and he had this like latex skin that you could roll up and pull the bionics out of his arm. So after a while,
I had that same thing.
So after a while, the skin started looking a little frayed, you know, because you're rolling up all the time. And And that's what reminds me of, because you fold up the unit that came with him, and it looks like a capsule, you know, because he crash landed and stuff. But that's really cool, Victor. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a great one.
I want to throw something else in there. Victor mentioned Thunderbirds, which jogged my memory. Did you guys see the Thundercats are coming back?
Yeah, like an anime.
That looks good. Yeah, yeah, like sort of an anime type of release. It's out in it's a couple months off, but it's coming, and it looked kind of good.
Oh, I haven't seen the footage or anything, but I did know it was
saw some of the artwork, and it looked pretty good.
Yeah, it was like a Warner Brothers putting out a series. It'll be on Cartoon Network, isn't that right?
I think so.
Yeah, cool. So that's something to look forward to if you're a big Thundercats fan. I know my son will love that. So, what's that? What are you going to say, Victor?
You were talking about $6 million man. I don't know about you, but when that show came out, I would go around like going I supposed to look like such a nerd. I know. I had to get to the classroom.
Oh man,
slow motion. Right.
Oh yeah, and then my first wife, I used to say that she had like Jamie Summers hearing. You know, half the time she couldn't hear anything. What? But then like I would say the littlest, tiniest thing, and she'd hear that. I'm like, okay, Jamie Summers, I'll be right with you.
That's funny.
She probably didn't get it, though.
I know my mom had hearing like Jamie Summers, because anytime I was up for something, she could hear it.
I used to go, you must have ears in the back of your head.
Ears in the back of your head. Yeah. All right, well, moving right along. And in the Remember When segment, we have the IBM Muppet Show, which is probably the oddest thing I've ever seen. Well, at least the oddest pairing up. How about that? This is IBM had hired Jim Henson to make a set of videos for, I guess, the sales staff or IBM employees, whatever, you know, in general, their IBM training films. And it's kind of funny because these are so old that you kind of see a foreshadowing of, you know, Sesame Street and the Muppets in the Muppet Show, rather. So, yeah, I mean, Cookie Monster eating the computer. Ralph the dog was trying to play do something with a typewriter. It's really kind of surreal to watch and fun, actually. Did y'all look at any of these?
I haven't watched any, but I've read the page, but I haven't watched the videos.
Oh. Did you see any, Victor?
I didn't see these, sorry.
Oh, yeah, you should scroll through and look at these. It's really cool.
But they're all in suits, like typical IBM dress code.
Yeah. Yeah, they have the CEO like says something, you know, and then they cut to Kermit doing stuff. But yeah, it's really cool. But what's funny is, at the end of the very end of the article, there's a picture of, Jim Henson with Kermit on a Think Different ad from Apple, which I thought highly ironic, but anyway.
A little bit of foreshadowing, right?
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, it's kind of neat to go back and I had no idea these things existed. But then again, I didn't know that IBM had a song, which we saw at the Computer History Museum.
Oh, wow. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, they had that song. I forget how it goes. I don't sing it on a daily basis. But yeah, I remember that being kind of odd. So anyway. All right. So so moving right along, we have a What the George segment. So what you got, George?
Yeah, so I went to visit my dad, and he gave me something I wasn't expecting because they're selling their house and they're moving. So a lot of the older family stuff that he's meaning me to get, mm-hmm. he's giving to me. But one of the things I didn't expect was, and he still had this thing, is a Zenith transoceanic radio. Sweet. So you can, shortwave, longwave, FM, all this. And I remember it from when I was a kid, and he had it, and it's not just that it looks good. The thing completely works. I mean, the manuals are with it. I was tuning in. I was listening to some China stuff the other, stuff from China and BBC and, all this. And it still works great.
Really?
I meant to have it plugged up for this, but I forgot to plug it up. I'd have to do that if I wanted to. But if you want to hear a sample of it, you can just go over to my site, which GeorgeStarcher.net, where I put my personal stuff, and I have a picture of it there, and then I have a little bit of a sound clip that I recorded where I just piped off the headphone jack from the radio into my soundboard. Just recorded it. It's pretty wild.
See, I was going to say, you get 2 geek points and you got to take one back for not having it hooked up.
Yeah.
But you posted that picture yesterday, and I was like, oh, my mom had one of those, you know? And I was like, these things weren't cheap. I looked them up. They were like $179, almost $200 back then. That was a lot of money.
Oh, back then it was.
Yeah. And my mom had one, and I finally dawned on me, well, of course, she wanted to listen to Cuma radio. You know, she wanted to be able to go and listen to that. And that was, you know, you weren't supposed to do it or whatever. But I remember having the little map there, and I was just intrigued by this device. But of course, I was the kid who, when I first got to the U.S., somebody gave me a little transistor radio, and I carried that thing with me everywhere I went. It was like my best friend for years. It was just, you know, probably why I podcast now, because I was like,
now you just carry an iPod with you.
Yeah.
See, nothing's changed.
Well, that's what I was laughing with somebody last night, was they're like, I'm like, well, I could just, you know, go online and probably download half the stuff I could pick up with the radio as some sort of podcast feed, you know, and hear it better. Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, even an app on the iPad, like I have this one app, Pocket Tunes, and it find, you know, police scanners and all this stuff, all these feeds that they have it populated with. So in a way, it's almost like having one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but still having the original unit. And my dad got one a kid. It's pristine. It's got the manuals, the box, everything is with this thing. It is just awesome.
That is cool. You know, I missed the word transoceanic when you posted the picture the other day. I was like, oh, he's got an old radio. Big deal. No, but that is cool.
You flip out the antenna and it's taller than I am, you know, when I start extending it.
You know, my dad was big in, well, back in Vietnam, dad was a radio repairman. And so he's got a lot of experience, repairing that kind of stuff. And I remember, and I mentioned this on the show before, he was installing a CB in his car. Now this is, in the, mid to late 70s, so everybody had CBs. But we're in Texas, and he's hooking it up, and he's checking it out. He's tweaking it a little bit. And also we hear this guy talking, and he's replying back to him, and the guy's talking back. The guy ended up saying he was in Pennsylvania. I was like, whoa. Yeah, the cloud cover gives you that skip. Yeah. And
sometimes you get those skips on those radio waves, and then you could just pick. I mean, I was listening to stuff in French.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to all sorts of stuff on this thing, you know, over the weekend.
That's amazing.
And you want to impress me? Give me a radio that'll take me back in time. Then you'll impress me.
Yeah.
Well, I was, you know, obviously I've been listening to way too many of these horror podcasting authors like Scott Sigler and Jake Bible and these guys, because mm-hmm. I'm sitting tuning the radio, and I caught myself going, I wonder when I'm going to hear the survivors of the zombie apocalypse, right? Calling for help.
Yeah, right. You know, I want to throw in here real quick that hearing Victor, if you hadn't heard Victor's, I don't know if you still got it online, your story about you coming over from Cuba, but I think
I do have it someplace, to be honest with you. I don't know where, but I think I do have it.
Well, I like listening to it, not just because of the travel part, but the part about how much you appreciate the little things out of your story, somebody that's lived here takes it for granted, I should say. And like the transistor radio. Yeah, I've had, you know, some, but to think about, oh, yeah, I got and carried around with you because you care about it so much. And it just kind of humbles me to think, wow, I'm just a schmuck, you know, taking everything for granted, you know, but listening to your story.
Yeah, it was Immigration Tales is what Victor called that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll put a link in your show notes there, and I put it in the room already. So I do have it out there, hidden someplace so people can listen to it. And, it really does make you appreciate things. And to this day, I don't take anything for granted, because I remember those days of, you know, wanting everything and having to stand in line and all of that. It was really something.
Sure.
I remember Victor talking about the little toy submarine he had I guess the guards took from him when he left Cuba.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's the saddest thing I've heard.
Yeah, and remember we found that toy submarine and we sent it to him from Friends Intact?
Yeah.
Yep, I have it right up here on my shelf.
That's right.
That is one of my prized possessions, definitely.
We didn't warn you it was coming either. We just sort of said that.
Yeah.
That was great. It was great. Yeah, that was very, very, very cool.
All right. Well, yeah. All right, I'm going to wipe the tear from mine. Let's move along.
Pick it up now.
Yeah, let's move along. So anyway, this last weekend, I went to Heroes Con. I know you're probably tired of hearing me talk about it, but the Heroes aren't hard to find as a comic book shop in Charlotte, and they threw this big con. They've done it for, I think they said it's the 22nd year. I may be wrong on that, but it's big convention, big on independent artists and then comic artists, and then, of course, some larger names there as well. A lot of comics you can buy, of course, merchandise, all that kind of stuff, T-shirts. I saw more Big Bang Theory shirts than I care to think about. But but anyway, it was a great time. I met up with Dave Slusher, who's a big comic head. He was buying comics and stuff. And actually, I went around with Mage, too. I did several interviews, I think about six or seven. And then he took Mage, too, and went and interviewed some other people. So it may end up being two special shows here on Technorama. He interviewed, Brad Geiger from Webcomics Weekly. I don't know if you listen to that podcast. He does the Evil Inc. Show. Or,
Genius.
Evil Inc. is the comic. He interviewed. Yeah, he does Evil Genius Chronicles is Dave's podcast. And he also interviewed, I'm not sure who else he talked to, but I know one guy, his name's Erwin Hasen. And Erwin, believe it or not, is like 91. He has been coming to this convention for a long time. He drew like Wildcat, some stuff like that. He worked on Green Lantern, like old school Silver Age comics. Very cool guy. But yeah, I'm surprised to, I see him. I'm like, man, that guy's in his 80s. No, he's in his 90s and he's still coming to this thing. It's really amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah, very cool. But yeah, I talked to a bunch of artists. So be looking for that here soon. We had a great time. It was great seeing Dave. I met up with Richard Green, Mr. Mainframe. I don't know if you've seen him in the chat room and around other podcasts and stuff. We met up with him and hung out with him for a while. So it was a lot of fun. Tons of people, lots of costumes. I saw a black Captain America. A little bit of everything there. So it was really cool.
What you talking about?
Yeah, what you talking about?
What you talking about?
Well,
R.I.P. I guess for him.
Yeah, you know, I don't mean this bad by any means, but it's funny to see a black Captain America. It reminds me of when I used to watch Good Times. You know, like I guess it was reruns, of course. I would watch Good Times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they had the black Jesus picture on their wall.
Yep.
That's what I kept thinking of. It's like seeing the black Jesus. Kind of funny. But anyway, kind of odd, I should say. But anyway, it was great. His costume was great, and it had everything from Catwoman to you name it. So yeah, it was loads of fun. So if you can make it, you should come next time, next year, about the same time in June. Anyway, but so be looking for the interviews and whatnot coming out pretty soon. So moving right along to the Geek Library, we're going to wrap up the show here shortly. I guess this could have been in the Remember When segment, but our five dumbest products in America. And this is from, I think it was a Popular Scientific America from 1977.
Yeah, it's a National Semiconductor ad.
Yeah, so the dumbest, what was it? How'd they get it?
By dumb, I guess they mean non-intelligent device, right? Where it just goes, right?
Yeah, probably so. And I've got, I could name some of my high-tech stuff pretty dumb. at least I like to think I'm smarter than my laptop, right? So anyway, they have like your car, your TV, your house, and a telephone, and a toaster oven.
Oh, but they got the thing on the car wrong. It's so computerized now, it'll kill you. At least if it's Toyota, right?
Yeah, it's Toyota. Yes, right. Oh, boy. Yeah, the phones are pretty smart nowadays. Even TVs. Now with Skype on them. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
TVs are coming out with Skype. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way to interrupt your show, I guess.
Yeah, I'm gonna kind of rant here for a minute. You know, they're really pushing the 3D TV thing. Is that really necessary?
No.
I mean, there's not even enough adoption of HD and Blu-ray yet. You know, I mean, what? Tell you what, give me the thin OLED, you know, type TVs you promised that are only like a pound and a half that I could just lay out on the wall. Give them to me with wireless HDMI so I don't have to run anything but power to it. 3D, what? So I can lose the glasses or my kids can break them, or as it is right now, there's three different version, you know, major glasses, right? Yeah. And so your kids' friends might have one set of glasses. You have a different set. Ah, stupid.
Yeah. You know, and
Craig George did all the ranting for you.
Yeah, I know. There you go. Moving right along. No. But yeah, I saw this, like, DirecTV was going to do some sports and stuff in 3D. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. As a matter of fact, you know, we canceled, and I've talked about this on here before, where we canceled our DirecTV. We don't have cable or anything. We're doing a la carte over the air and through Netflix and Amazon. That's where I'm getting all where I'm getting all my video from. And you know what's funny is that DirecTV called. And the reason we dropped them was because we had two or three channels we were supposed to be getting, and for some reason we weren't getting them, and they weren't premium channels or anything. It was just like part of the basic HD. Well, they told us on the phone that we would have to get a service call out to come fix them. I was like, you got to be kidding me! You know, I'm getting signal. There's nothing for you to fix, and I need you to either turn them on or tell me why I'm not getting them. And they went round and round and said that, you know, I'd have to pay for another service call to come fix them. It's like, you know what? Forget it. And then, of course, they raised my bill too. And I was like, forget it. So they called the other day asking my wife, what would it take to get you to come back? How about free 3D? Free 3D? Sure.
How about you guys come out here and act out every show that I want to watch?
Turn the channel.
I could throw eggs at you, right?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, oh, come on. No, you know. How about free HBO? How about free 3D? Well, I got free 3D all around me. I got enough 3D.
Thank you.
Yeah. So.
I need another buying decision when I'm buying a TV. You know, I need another point to think about. My wife and I have held off for 2 years buying a TV because it's so friggin' complicated to buy a TV these days.
Yeah. And the only reason I bought a Blu-ray disc, well, besides the Star Trek movie, was that our DVD player died and they finally got cheap enough where I could say, well, I might as well go ahead and get the Blu-ray. It's only a few bucks more than the DVD player. So, So I did.
Dude, I work for the company that makes and distributes the DVDs for 20th Century Fox, Warner Brothers, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I only own one Blu-ray disc, and I don't even own a Blu-ray player. And it puts food on my table, and I don't buy them.
Yeah, well, see, that's the other thing, and I'm sorry to say that, especially to you, George, but, you know, I bought, well, we got like two or three Blu-rays, maybe. I got Up, Star Trek, and I got something else because it came with Up, you know, so got them together. But since I got everything on Amazon and Netflix, why would I buy, I don't even want to buy a DVD. Why would I keep it? I just pay the
$16. I don't either. I did everything to iTunes.
Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of sad, but yeah. So, I'm sorry I just broke your business model at work.
It's been broken, buddy.
I guess I didn't do it single-handedly.
I'll say about that.
So, anyway, hey, Victor, you had something else in here?
I thought about it when you did Geek Library, and this is just a classic. Orson Welles loses it during a commercial. If you've never seen this, get the link in the show notes there. This is just underground tape that's been around forever, and this link has it in an audio engineer, a pretty famous audio engineer site. And have you heard this, Craig?
No, I haven't heard it. But when I read this, I kept thinking of Bill O'Reilly. You've seen that video where he loses it on TV?
Yeah, I mean, just let me see if you can hear this, and I'll just play the first couple of things. It's perfectly clean.
Every July, peas grow there. Do you really mean that?
So in other words, I'd start half a second late.
Don't you think you really want to say July over the snow? Isn't that the fun of it?
If you can make it almost when that shot disappears, it'll make my...
I think it's so nice that you see a snow-covered field and say every July, peas grow there.
Anyway, so it goes from there, and it builds up, and at the end, he kind of goes off, and it's just... gold to be able to listen to this one. So if you haven't heard it, I think it was actually Pinky and the Brain did a version of it in their cartoon one time.
Really?
Of this okay. underground tape.
That's
yep.
funny.
Yep.
Hey, Tim Elliott says he actually listened to it when it came out. What?
Whoa.
Whoa. Yeah, whoa is right.
It's a good one, and that's dplay.com/audio/OrsonPlay.
All right. .htm.
.htm.
Or find the link in the show notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Hey, I want to, we're going to wrap this up because we're running just a little bit long. But I want to thank you, Victor, and thank you, George, for showing up and hanging out with me. Had a good time.
Yeah, glad we could do it.
Yeah, not as polished as normal, but maybe I'll work out the kinks for next time. But anyway, so...
the kinks will be here?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Cool. I got them lined up for an interview next week.
I love the kinks.
So anyway, all right, so we appreciate your support, and if you like the show, there are many ways to show your love for us. You can call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428, or you can email Chuck and I at technorama@chuckjet.com. Or you can find us on Twitter at C. Tomasi or at Step K or at Technorama and catch up with us there. Or visit the website at chuckchat.com. Or you can, you know, throw a little modest tip in the tip jar if you'd like. Or you can throw us a review on iTunes, Podcast Pickle, Podcast Alley, or any other podcast asterisk.com that you want to. Go on in there and throw us a review. We'd certainly appreciate it. And
don't still review this episode of the show, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So be sure to visit Victor's podcast at typicalshutterbug.com and typical PC user. For me, whoa, typical Mac user.
Way back in the day, typicalmacuser.com.
Yeah,
yeah.
Where are you typical at, George?
You're all the Remember When segment.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, typical PC user. So George, where are you at normally nowadays?
GeorgeStarcher.com is my technical blog, and just my personal fun stuff is GeorgeStarcher.net.
Cool. All right. And don't forget to take the survey at our website. You can find the link over there at checkchat.com. And just kind of give us a little bit of information about who's listening to our shows. We appreciate it. And thanks to Mad Mar for providing great blog content. He always does that well. And Ustream for our live streams that we do on Sunday that I can never get configured right. And ThinStack for our chat room. Thank you. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more about them at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with farpointmedia.com and all the great podcasts over there. Check them out. We'll know you'll find something you'll enjoy because they've got a ton of stuff. Over a ton of themes, so go for it. And new shows are coming on board there all the time. So if you're getting the show by clicking on the website and listening, consider subscribing and get it to you automatically for free. No problems there. It's free. Like I said, does that say free? Anyway, it's free. Anyway, drop either of us an email if you need help with that, and we'll point you in the right direction. Tell a friend about Technorama, and you two guys, give us a binary high five.
1-0-1-1
I love syncing stuff in Skype. See, it's going to sound seamless when I'm done.